Welcome from the deep. I'm Mike the Finder.
And I am Book of Brett.
And today we're going to be talking about the 1991 film Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
We sure are.
This is the second video slash podcast in our Terminator series, because for some reason, we decided it would be a good idea to watch every single Terminator movie and review them all. Not necessarily in order, because then we'd just ourselves, but...
Well, because they're amazing. Well, I mean, on a gradient, they're amazing.
they're definitely on a gradient. Yes,
they get progressively worse after two.
Yep, and I haven't seen any after two in a very long time. So,
oh, you haven't? Mm-mm. Oh, I have. I have. I can. Well, I can attest to that.
So, Terminator 2 is a movie that I have seen at least 4 million times, at least. This is a movie that I owned as a kid and was constantly in the VHS player. I have very, very vivid memories of watching this as a kid over and over and over and over again.
Second favorite sci-fi movie.
I did not see Terminator 1 until much later in life and didn't even know this was a sequel, really, when I was a kid, because I didn't pay that close attention. I just thought Schwarzenegger was cool. Had a poster of him on my wall.
Did you think they were pulling a Star Wars?
I didn't think about it. Just enjoyed him taking people's clothes and riding a motorcycle.
Terminator 2, because there's two Terminators in it.
I was 4 years old when this came out. So,
Wait, how old were you when you watched this for the first time? Yeah.
Yep. What you're thinking is accurate. I was probably entirely too young, but we all know, if you've been watching the channel for a while, that I was watching movies I shouldn't have been watching at a much too young of an age.
Yeah, so, it's true. You needed more supervision. You currently need more supervision.
Also true. So this is a movie that, you know, when we reviewed Terminator 1, I remember thinking, like, this is going to be an interesting to see how all of these movies fit together. And because I remember Terminator 2 so well, you know, I didn't have any real shocks going into this, like we usually do when we review these movies of, like, you know, oh my God, that was terrible. Like Godzilla minus one. You know,
people are already going to start checking out. People were so hateful about our review for that movie. And can we address that for like 1 second? For like 1 second, can we address how we are not here to cater to your fucking opinions? I'm trying not to be hateful, but people were so upset. And this is coming from the half of the show that loved it. But so many people hated your reaction to that movie. And guess what? It's okay for him not to like it. Listen, guys, I fucking hate him too, but I have a lot of other reasons to do so. You can't just hate him because he hated a movie. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's a bastard, but he's got some good points sometimes.
Sometimes. With that movie in particular, I think I just don't hold the same opinions as most people. And we knew that going in. We knew that my opinion was going to be the minority and that we were going to get hate for me not liking Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I think people just get mad when you don't like the same stuff they do. And they're just like, man, bad, not same opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, it's like it's like politics and religion. The environment gets a lot more interesting when you don't agree with people and can have a conversation about it, which is what the comment section is for. Mr. I can't, or what was it? I think I have to go.
It was something like that. I don't remember. Yep. Yeah. Either way. I think that let's just all keep in mind as we move forward with this podcast, not only today, but in general with the channel and the episodes in the future that we may produce. When somebody doesn't like something, that's just their fucking opinion. So that's all it is. And not everybody's going to like the same shit you like. Everybody has their own brain and connects to different things in a different way. So this is a big thing we've been talking about for a year. At least where it's just like, go into stuff, hoping you like it with as little expectations as possible, and then you can make up your mind. And I openly admitted in that episode, I went into it with overhyped expectations, and it might have colored the way I saw that movie a little bit. And I was there, by the way, most of the things that I said were pretty level-headed. I was an asshole in a few ways. Yes.
Yeah.
But I was also very level-headed and upfront about the fact that I understand why other people like it and all that kind of shit. So I don't want to make this a whole 10-minute diatribe on why people are idiots. But
I felt like we needed to at least address it a little bit.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about Terminator from 1991. This is a movie that both Brett and I have seen a lot. Do you have a weird history with this movie like I do, where you sit around and watched it way too young or over and over?
I still watch it at least a couple times a year.
Dude, same.
I love Terminator 2, but I get a little bit worried, and that's why whenever I watch it and talk about it, because it is, with it being a documentary, I always have to make sure that I watch it with my special hat, or else I'm afraid someone will know that I'm watching it, and, you know, then they'll get my thought bubbles.
So for those of you just listening, do you want to explain what the hell you're talking about?
Well, see, I've got my my head's itching right now, which is how I can tell they're trying to get in. But luckily,
I think that's just the lice from sleeping outside, you fucking homeless person.
Okay, well, first of all, if I sleep inside, they might set the house on fire while I sleep, and then I could die. At least outside.
Explain what you're talking about for those not watching us, please.
I've got my special tinfoil hat on, constructed out of space-age materials, brought to a point to break up the thought beams that the government and the Greys are using to try and steal my thoughts. What is so hard to understand about this?
You look like a Hershey's Kiss.
It's okay, but it has to be constructed that way, because otherwise they'll get in. But this way, it concentrates it up here, and within I put more tinfoil so that it just kind of absorbs the beams as they come in. And I do have my protective glasses too, but I can't wear those because I have to make sure that you don't turn into a lizard person. And if I can't see you, you might do that.
So now we all know what I'm dealing with today.
Yeah. So can we please talk about Skynet?
I'm going to regret asking you this. Do you want to give us a synopsis of Terminator 2 Judgment Day?
I have never wanted to give you anything more than a synopsis about Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Terminator 2 is a 2063 autobiographical documentary about famed egomaniacal world destroyer Elon Bezos.
I was gonna regret that. I knew I was gonna, but here we are.
But, yeah, well, okay, but I'm sorry.
I just could have made so many different choices that led me to not hear, and then here I am.
You could have made a lot of choices 23 years ago, and today would be very different. But you didn't. Here we are, so we're talking about Terminator 2. And Terminator 2 is actually about John Connor and Sarah Connor trying to prevent the rise of Skynet following the events of Terminator 1. Where Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't look quite as good. Terminator 1 has a lot more cheese than Terminator 2 does. And Terminator 2 is awesome.
Thinking about all the decisions that led me. I'm sorry. Was that an actual synopsis? Yeah.
Sort of.
Okay. So, yeah. Terminator 2, it's about what he said. So if we jump over to the podcast drive-in over here, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, it's from 1991, it's rated R, it's 2 hours and 17 minutes.
I don't remember it being that long.
Yeah. So here's the other thing. You watch this on Paramount. I watch this on 4K, which I will rant about later. I believe we both watched the theatrical version and not the extended cut. The extended cut. Yes. I've only seen a handful of times, maybe only twice, with the spirit of his dad coming back and like all that other shit.
Shut up. I don't think I've seen that.
Okay. You need to watch the extended cut for sure. Okay. There's some stuff in there that's not in the theatrical cut, but, okay. we both watched the theatrical cut. So it's 2 hours and 17 minutes, which is very fucking long. As a kid, I do not remember it being that long, but as an adult with a fucking smartphone tracking device in my hand, you know, it's a little hard to pay attention to after you've seen it a million times. I don't know if that was the case for you.
No, because I genuinely love this movie, and
I do too. To be very clear, I do too, but it's just, I don't have a problem with longer movies, but I do have a problem with longer movies that I have seen a lot. I recently watched Back to the Future 2 again, because it's free. All three of them are free on YouTube right now, by the way. So,
oh, wow.
As we record this. So, you know, those movies I could pay attention to all day long.
Yeah.
But this, I was having to literally like check myself of like, okay, put your fucking phone down, pay attention.
I think that's more a sign of the times.
That's definitely part of it. The pacing on this is actually very good. It's yeah. very good. So
I thought you were going to go a whole different direction. No, no, no. You the and pacing I were about
is,
to fight.
No, no, no. The pacing is fucking phenomenal in this movie. So it's just a testament of how like internet brain I am. Okay, so this was directed by James Cameron. It was written by James Cameron and William Wisher. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton, and Edward Furlong. Oddly enough, if this is going to be really mean, but Arnold Schwarzenegger is the only one that doesn't look like he's shriveled into a prune out of all those people.
Yeah,
it's a little mean, I mean, but it's weird.
It's a little.
Weird that he was the best in shape then and now, and Edward Furlong was 20 years younger than he is or whatever when they filmed this.
Edward Furlong looks like
for a very long time, so that has a large part of. To do with what he went through, but
so are we, and we don't look like our eyes are sinking in on themselves. So
anyway, I just thought it was interesting. Schwarzenegger still looks the best out of all these guys. It's crazy how fucking in shape he is in this movie. He's probably like early 30s.
Oh, dude, I would imagine he's got to be. I would say even like mid 30s. Like, how old is he now?
This says he was 37.
God, 37. Damn. So he's almost 40.
He was our age when he filmed this.
He's your age and a year younger than me. That's in this movie.
Crazy.
And he's in better shape than 90% of America ever has been.
I mean, to be fair, that is why he got the original movie, because he was in such good shape and not a great actor, and he didn't have to say a lot. But I don't know. I think that everybody kind of knows this is a great movie. That's not something I think we need to sit here and debate. No. What I want to talk about is why in the fuck this movie holds up so many years later, because it is. Dude, not only is it masterfully made, but it is still better than 99% of the shit that comes out now. And I cannot figure out why we can't make fucking movies like this anymore. It baffles my fucking mind.
Well, because that's not what sells anymore. It's not as simple as going, this doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work anymore because of the decades leading up to it. People don't tune into sci-fi anymore for the messages. They don't tune into movies in general for the most part. I know there's a lot of people that are on the same page as you and I as far as wanting to see a movie that makes a statement, but most people don't watch movies to make a statement anymore, or not to make a profound statement. The movie, I feel like the movies that are coming out now that are making a statement are all making the same statement. And this one was really, really touching on. So this one is touching on an Orwellian topic that wasn't popular at the time. Like talking about the end of the world, talking about technology being the end of us wasn't like the hot topic of the time. What was the hot topic of the time was, you know, the commies and, you know, and all of that stuff. And that's why you saw a lot of movies that came. That's why Seagal movies were doing so well, because those people were going to go see those movies to see some like brain dead blockbuster. And when this came out, it made a statement. It did something new. And I think that maybe it might be possible. There's nothing new to do anymore.
Maybe. I agree with you, but I also slightly disagree with the idea that, I don't know. On rewatch, this is not nearly as about Skynet as I remember, especially compared to Terminator 1.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Like, no, it's much more character driven than.
Well, it's much more character driven. Here's the thing that really, really stands out to me about Terminator 2 is Terminator 2 is a lot about family. And as far as Arnold Schwarzenegger taking on this like fatherly role for John, yeah. and Sarah recognizing it. And there's this, like you said, it's very character driven, but it's fucking deep as far as what the characters are dealing with, what the characters are feeling and going through. There's so much connection between all of these characters that are in this movie. And I think that's one thing that really works well. And I hate to say it, but it's a thing that you hear a lot from like the Fast and the Furious crowd. I'm not a Fast and the Furious fan, but you hear people all the time talk about, you know, Fast and the Furious at the end of the day is about family. It's not, but that's what they say, and that's what they find to love so much about it. And that's what I think, because there is this movie is talking about a lot of really deep topics, some of them more than others. And I think that's why it stands the test of time more so than something like, oh, say, Pieces would.
Okay, first of all, Pieces was going to be the other movie that we did this week, and maybe we'll do that next week. I don't know. But first of all, you can't even compare those two, because Pieces is just such a better movie than Terminator 2. It's not really even debatable.
It's a better movie.
Yeah.
It's a better movie.
Yes.
Please tell me and all the viewer how it's a better movie.
There's more gore and blood. And boobs.
That's it?
Yeah.
God, I'm so glad we could put on display the extreme duality happening behind the scenes of this show.
What does that mean?
Nothing. Continue, please.
What a jerk. All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and run down your overall thoughts on Terminator 2? I will do the same. And then we will talk about specifics and give our ratings on this. Like I said, everybody knows how good this movie is. I don't think there's much debating like whether this movie is good or worth watching or anything like that. So
no, but I think the big debate is whether or not it holds up, and it holds up every single time I watch this movie. Overall, I mean, this is it truly is an amazing film. I mean, it's amazing from concept to execution, from opening credits to end credits. I get chills every single time I hear the Terminator theme song when it started playing.
So good.
I literally got goosebumps because it's got this military aspect to it, but it throws in this emotional aspect to it as well. And that's what I'm saying is, like, from the very beginning, we get this destruction. We get to see the end of the human race, but we don't spend the first half hour of this film going, this is what happened in Terminator 1. It's like, it's very unforgiving in that aspect, but what it does so well is that you don't need to have seen the first one to appreciate this one, to appreciate what's going on here. The one thing that I will say, though, is the one reason, well, not the one, but one of the big reasons why I think seeing the first one is so important is because of the emphasis it gives to Skynet and what's really, really going on behind the scenes, because there aren't a ton of references in this one to the first one. And the ones that are in there, they don't spend a lot of time going over, but they go over them enough for you to know why they're important and why they play a role. And that's why, going back to what you said, why does Terminator 2 stand the test of time? Because of the fucking writing. Everything done in the script, in the writing, is done. This movie, to me, is a masterclass on screenwriting. Screenwriting?
Yes.
Writing a screenplay?
Screenwriting. Either one will work, yeah.
It really is. The conversations, even though they feel natural, they emote so much. They make you feel so much. They make you aware of what's going on. But again, they feel natural. And another big part of this is I'm going to hone in on one performance that stands out above all the rest, and that's Linda fucking Hamilton. She is amazing in this movie. I didn't really like every time I watch her, I recognize how good she is, but I feel like every time I watched this, I gained this like new level of appreciation for her in this. Which is really funny because I've actually been watching Resident Alien, which she's in. I don't know if you've watched Resident Alien, but she's hysterical in Resident Alien. She's so good in it. And that's her in a comedy. And so to see her go back and forth between those is, and to think she, you know, she wasn't really an action star before this, before the first Terminator. I just, her performance stands out so much in this, but all the performances are good in this. The writing is amazing. And again, that's what I feel like really stands the test of time, or makes it stand the test of time. And overall, this is a movie that I have been watching over and over and over for years and years and years, and it never gets old.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with pretty much all that. I think Linda Hamilton is this is just the definition of character development. If we look at Terminator 1, which was, what year was that? 1984.
Was it really that long?
It was 1984. Terminator 2 is 1991. If we look at who she is as a character in Terminator 1 versus Terminator 2, it's fucking crazy. And she sells it so well. She has been spending all of her time in a mental institution, basically, and getting herself ready for this incoming thing that she knows is going to happen. And the whole world thinks she's crazy because of it. It's
just like people with my hat. Everybody looks at me like I'm a lunatic. And I don't get it.
Yeah, but she was proven right. That's the difference.
Time will tell, my friend.
Just a thought. But no, for me, this is a fucking masterpiece. I mean, like you said, the music is, every time I hear it, even in other things and outside of the movie, stuff like that, it sets off these, would you shut the fuck up?
No, I'm scoring.
I know what you're doing. Shut the fuck up. It just sets off these fucking memories for me of sitting on the floor in front of my giant tube TV and rewatching this movie over and over and over again. And it has only gotten better the more I've watched it and the further away we get from its release. Not only, like I was saying earlier, because it was so fucking, it was so ahead of its time with its content and its messaging that, or its messages, that it's almost unbelievable. And especially as we watch this in 2024 with the burgeoning AI debate and all of this other stuff, it's not real AI. It's just fucking machine learning. It's big fucking difference, but
it starts out as AI.
It starts out the way it is
it
now.
It starts out as AI. Right.
So I just think that looking back, it's kind of crazy how fucking dead on the writing is. And and it not only is well written, but it's also well made. This is one of the best like film courses that you could take just watching this movie. The shadows, the lighting, the fucking cinematography, the acting, the writing, all of it is fucking incredible. And it's, and it only, all it does is highlight how much of a gradient, like you said, that the fucking franchise is on after this, because it is all fucking downhill from here, from what I remember. It's been a long
time.
Number 3
is not terrible.
But Terminator 2 is peak fucking Terminator. Yes. It's peak Schwarzenegger. Is. It's Linda Hamilton is the things that the way that she emotes in this film is mind blowing. It is
you feel it,
is
it
fucking
so bad,
a
man.
Masterclass in just acting and emoting on screen. And again, you have to look at her character in Terminator 1. She was just some ditzy like waitress teenager. I think she was a teenager. She might have been in her early 20s, but she's like,
she was doing the whole Grease thing where they casted a 30-year-old as a 17-year-old.
That might be true. Yeah, I actually don't know how old she was whenever she played in the Terminator.
John Travolta never looked like a teenager. But he popped out as a 35-year-old man.
Wig and all. I just think that, like, if you want to know what good acting is, like, watch The Terminator and then watch Terminator 2. And not only just good acting, just every filmmaking in general, it is astonishing what he was able to accomplish from 1 to 2. Now, The Terminator was made in 1984, so... Mm-hmm. There's a lot of progression, not only of James Cameron as a filmmaker, but also technology and blah, blah, blah,
James
blah, blah,
Cameron, right.
And acting standards, all of it. Writing specifically, what's really interesting is Gail Ann Hurd helped write The Terminator, and she did not help write Terminator 2. If we look at her, we look at her IMDb, it says that she joined New World Pictures as an executive assistant to Roger Corman, the company president. So she was under Roger Corman. And if I remember correctly, James Cameron also worked for Roger Corman, who was pretty well known for giving young people in the industry their first jobs and stuff. So I think that that may have been what happened in 84 with Terminator 1. It's just, but regardless, I just thought it was interesting. She is not credited here as a writer. So it was only James Cameron and William Wisher that wrote this when in Terminator 1, they had Gail Ann Hurd. So I don't know. There's just so much going on in this fucking movie. It's hard to wrap your brain around as far as the story goes. I think that this is one of the smartest sci-fi movies that has ever been made. It spawned a franchise a multi-billion dollar franchise, and it really launched Arnold Schwarzenegger into the zeitgeist as far as America goes and really being a household name. He was in some stuff before this and even in Terminator 1, but I just think that this is the movie that you think of when you think of Arnold Schwarzenegger, at least me, this and Total Recall. So...
You cut out there. This and what else?
This and Total Recall. Because that was another movie that I watched over and over and over.
I guess we're just
going to
gloss over Kindergarten Cop. Okay.
Well, is that what you think of when you think of Terminator Schwarzenegger?
This is what I'm talking about. Fucking simpleton.
That was rude.
Doesn't even own tinfoil.
No, I don't. I don't even have tinfoil. He asked me to make a tinfoil hat, and I don't even have any. I use baking paper like an adult.
Baking, oh my God, you are such an elderly woman. Baking paper?
Parchment paper.
Did you just call it?
Parchment paper. That's what it's called.
Yeah, it's not called baking paper. Fucking God, I swear, it's like you personally went through the Depression.
He's so mean. He's just such a mean person.
No, no, you're just getting sensitive.
In my old age.
Thought beams. No, the thought beams, they're affecting your cerebral cortex, which I have no idea if that affects emotions or not.
Okay, well, what else do you have to say about this? Because that's kind of all I've got. Like, this is just one of the smartest, best sci-fi movies ever made. It's never going to be topped. It launched multiple people's careers.
I really don't think it will be.
James Cameron, this is peak James Cameron. It's one of the best fucking sci-fi movies ever.
And to think he went from this to Titanic, it's really incredible.
I know you loved. Really, I know you. I get it. You love Titanic for some reason.
No, I mean, like, he made this and then made Titanic. It's amazing.
I mean,
it's amazing.
We have very, very different opinions on Titanic.
Titanic,
because I am not amazing. A 12-year-old girl.
Titanic is amazing. Leonardo DiCaprio is welcome to this anytime he wants. And you can't shame me for that in 2024. My wife might have some questions, though.
No, she's well aware of what she's dealing with, I think.
She literally just said, no, I don't. I hate the circle of people around me. I really think the whole point of this episode is to really, really set up what is coming our way in Terminator 3, 4, 5, 7, and 42. Because this is the apex of the series. And to me, this is the apex of not just sci-fi action, but sci-fi movies in general, if we're looking at it from a grand scope. And I know that's a big statement. I know that's a big statement, but if you really look at it, I'm not gonna sit here and say it's better than 2001 A Space Odyssey. I've got my opinions about that, but I'm not gonna say them because I genuinely think I need to go back and rewatch it. I'm not gonna say that this is, in a generic way, better than Alien or Aliens in a cinematic sense. But when you really think about all the elements that James Cameron packed into Terminator 2, where it's the substance, it's the message, it's the acting, it's the quality of the cinema with the quality of the viewing experience and the quality of a moral message, I don't know if you get better than this. I really don't.
Well, let me introduce you to Total Recall, which was made 1 year before Terminator 2. And it is also a sci-fi masterpiece.
I'm not saying it's not a masterpiece. This is what I'm saying is I'm not saying Terminator 2 is better than these movies. That's not what I'm saying because that's too subjective of a term. What I'm saying
is, I don't think it is. I think it's pretty universal.
This movie has everything you want from a sci-fi movie. It's got action, it's got violence, it's got a message, it's got special effects, it's got everything. I would say the message of Terminator 2 is far superior to Total Recall.
I wouldn't say far superior, maybe better executed.
The message, again, I'm not talking about, like, yeah, again, I don't want this to be misconstrued as me saying it's a better movie because
it is.
Well, no, what I'm saying is like I don't know if I could really say this is better than 2001 A Space Odyssey in a general term. I don't know if I could say this is better than Planet of the Apes. I don't know if I could say that this is better than Alien 1 or Alien or Aliens.
That one's tough. Yeah.
But. I will say Aliens, it goes Aliens and it goes Terminator 2 for me as a tie for first as far as like sci-fi movies go. And as an overall, like what people look for in a sci-fi movie, I genuinely don't know if it gets better than Terminator 2. I don't know. I don't think so, personally.
I mean, I agree. It's definitely up there, top tier, like with Aliens and Space Odyssey and a couple others, I think.
It's also very different, though.
Think it's fucking crazy that Schwarzenegger, the run that Schwarzenegger had in the 90s is insane. It's fucking insane.
Like, and now he's in The Expendables.
Well, it is weird how much his career has kind of tapered, I guess might be a good word. Tapered. Here's what I want to do. I want to go back to,
you want to go to
the tail end of the 80s, Twins, which is fantastic. Recently rewatched that. But Total Recall, 1990, Kindergarten Cop, 1990, Terminator 2, 91. He was in the Judgment Day video game. Remember that with the guns and shit?
Yeah. The arcade game.
Yeah.
I played the arcade game all the time. I owned the Sega Genesis game. Yeah. No, dude, I was all in on Terminator 2. I've always been all in on it.
We did Last Action Hero in 93.
Yeah, he did. I saw that in theaters. It was amazing.
I haven't seen that in a very, very long time. He did True Lies in 94. Junior, which we rewatched recently. You were in that Discord call, right, when we watched that?
Nope.
Oh, you weren't? Oh, okay.
No.
He did Eraser in 96. He did one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Eraser was awesome. Yeah,
Eraser was great. But he did one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time ever, 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 which is Jingle All the Way in 1996.
It's such a shitty movie.
He did Batman and Robin in 97, but they can't.
He's the best part of Batman and Robin.
I used to see you. Yeah, he's just like pun man.
He's so good.
He is.
In Batman and Robin.
But only because of the cheese.
The only thing better than Arnold Schwarzenegger in Batman and Robin is the fact that George Clooney's suit has nipples.
I forgot about that. That's true.
Oh, yeah. There's nipples. There doesn't need to be nipples.
You don't know
there's
that.
There's nipples.
In 1999, he did End of Days. I don't remember
End
that
End of Days
at all.
Was good. End of Days is a lot of
and
fun.
And then in 2000, The Sixth Day, which is a shockingly good movie. If you have not seen that shit holds up really well, too. And it's just like, dude, from 90 up until 2000, he was just killing it. It's crazy. Just bang, 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 bang. Like classic movies. And it's and all of this was done after Terminator 1, because here's what's really fucked up. He was in Red Sonja after the Terminator in 84. I don't know if you've seen Red Sonja, but it is it's a Conan spinoff.
Don't play it.
Have you seen?
Don't play it. We're gonna get flagged. Don't play it.
No, it's fine. I'm not gonna play the whole thing. But you haven't seen this. You should see this.
Why would I watch that when I can watch Conan?
Because this is a Conan. It's a Conan spinoff.
He's awesome in Conan.
He is awesome in Conan. But he's Conan awesome the Destroyer in 84, the same year as the Terminator. This man has had an insane career. Insane career. Commando, Raw Deal, Predator, The Running Man, Red Heat.
And then he became the governor of California. Like, this man went from Austria, came over here, was told over and over again, your accent's going to keep you from having a good career. And then the motherfucker just catapulted into our lives, and we love him for it.
And he became one of the biggest action stars of all time. With a name like that, being household name, I would argue maybe Sylvester Stallone's that one of the only other ones that I could. Bruce Willis, maybe.
Bruce Willis is, and this is something we talked about in Die Hard. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the, like, over-the-top action hero. And it's simply because he's genuinely the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. But Bruce Willis is, like, a different type of action hero. Bruce Willis always seems to play the, like, down-to-earth, grounded action hero. We talked about this in our Die Hard episode, where the reason Die Hard was so popular and the attraction of it is that you have this guy that's like in an age of over the top action heroes, someone that's, you know, at least somewhat more grounded than what we had at the time. I would say in the tier of Arnold Schwarzenegger, nobody touches Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sylvester Stallone is up there, but I don't think Sylvester Stallone is nearly as big. Not okay. Maybe he's nearly as big, but I don't think Sylvester Stallone is as big of an action hero as Arnold Schwarzenegger is.
Well,
maybe
that makes me wonder if we go through his shit, like what we're going to see. Cause I'm not nearly as familiar with his stuff as I am Schwarzenegger.
You're going to get Rambo and Rocky and then another Amazing Rambo films. And then another Rocky. Well, a couple of them, Rambo, Rocky, Rocky, Rambo, Rambo, Rocky, 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 Rambo, Rambo, Rocky.
All right. Well, let's run through his 90s run. Cause now I'm curious. Rocky V, right?
Uh-huh.
Oscar, don't know what that is. Dream On, don't know what that is. Stop.
Oscar sounds like the movie he makes to try and get an Oscar.
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, 92. Cliffhanger, I've seen. Cliffhanger's pretty good. It's pretty damn good.
Pretty good.
Have you seen Cliffhanger? Nope.
Not in a very long time. And all I'm going to say is that was a big gap between blockbusters.
I mean, that's true. Let's see. Well, and even then,
I will say this.
He's in Tango and Cash in 89. So that's a pretty strong.
Sylvester Stallone deserves an immense amount of respect simply because of what he did to get Rocky made.
Okay, that's fair. But he's also in one of the greatest sci-fi movies from the 90s, Demolition Man, in 1993.
Oh, shit. I forgot about
Demolition Man. Is a phenomenal fucking movie. And
yeah.
Fucking, what's his name? Wesley Snipes is incredible in that movie. Incredible.
Fucking Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd?
Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
He's amazing in Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd is 1995. He was in The Specialist, Your Studio and You, Assassins, Daylight, Copland.
It just people tend to check out so quickly before they hear the full opinion that I wanted to get it in there so people understood we knew there were other movies.
No, but if we're comparing this, I did not know he was an ant. That's kind of funny. If we're comparing this, these are not like what I consider. Like from 2000, cliffhanger deleted scenes. That's weird. Oh, because of the DVD. In 1998, which was his last movie of the 90s, was Ants.
Oh my God, I forgot he was in Ants.
If we go down, The Good Life, an Alan Smithy film. I don't know, man. There's not nearly as many like classic films as Schwarzenegger has.
No.
There's just not. So it might be, dude, that Schwarzenegger is the biggest, greatest action hero of all time. And Terminator 2 is the fucking reason I think that works. Terminator 1 works like that, but he has a much smaller role, and his job in the Terminator is just to stand there, look big and intimidating, and shoot guns. And in Terminator 2, he flexes his acting muscle and is able to go on and turn Terminator 2 into this. You feel for his character, even though he's a fucking robot.
Yeah.
That's what's mind-blowing about that. And because he's playing off Linda Hamilton, who has all of these emotions wrapped up from her experience with that same Terminator, not the same one, but with his face, at least the same model. One of my favorite scenes in this movie is when that fucking elevator opens, he comes out of it. She's running down the fucking hallway, and her visceral gut reaction to seeing him. It is so fucking good. It might be the best scene in that fucking movie. And it has nothing to do with guns or explosions or anything else.
Yeah. 100%. I would say that. And the scene where she's on tape, like she's watching herself on tape.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, anybody without 2 million sunblock is going to have a pretty bad fucking day.
She just sells the fact that she believes it so much.
Yeah.
Like that's what really makes that scene work so well, is because I love the way that she tries to manipulate the doctor in that fucking scene by just being like telling him what he wants to hear. But he's smart enough to know that that's what she's doing. And she immediately fucking flips on him and like, well, this isn't working. Time to murder him.
You son of a bitch.
It's just so damn good. And the range that she shows, not only in that scene, but the tape that is being played in that scene, it's just, dude, it's fucking mind blowing. And then there's, yep. And then there's Edward Furlong. Not to, I don't know. Do you want to go through Edward Furlong's career?
Oh my God.
Was that too mean? Am I off base here?
I just remember him as the savior of the world and the savior of the white race in American History X.
Okay, there is that. You never saw Pecker?
No.
You never saw? Oh, okay. You definitely need to see Pecker. But Detroit Rock City is the other one that I think of. He's great in Detroit Rock City.
Well, he's got a lot of credits.
But he does have a lot, like a shocking amount of credits, doesn't he? Oh, yeah, he's in Pet Cemetery 2. That's right.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah. But Terminator 2, this is his first movie, and that's why I say... And then there's Edward Furlong, because sure,
this is his first.
He's pretty good in this. It's his first thing on IMDb. Amazing. It's his first credit.
For his first movie.
That's fucking crazy.
That's insane.
He's really fucking good in this, considering it's his first movie.
Really makes you wonder if Harvey Weinstein had a part in it.
Do you want to expand on that thought?
Well, how else does he get into a movie this big without any back? Credits without
I mean
you
that
know,
is a good
a
question like they probably wanted an unknown kid and held casting for it
sure maybe that's also a possibility.
Did Harvey Weinstein even have anything to do with this fucking movie?
I don't know. I have no idea, but
who are the producers?
I'll bet a few of the people watching are real uncomfortable with the comment I just made.
I'm uncomfortable with it. Does that count for anything?
Maybe your emotions would be in check and your brain would be more stable if you too had a tinfoil hat.
Okay, well...
We haven't even mentioned...
Yeah, I was going to not mention that. So here's the other piece to this puzzle, right? Robert fucking Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
I would be very sad if we forgot to mention him. I don't know if you've watched The Faculty, for instance, or fucking Fire in the Sky. Have you seen Fire in the Sky?
I've not.
Speaking
seen
of
Fire
tinfoil
in the Sky.
Hats and grays, oh my God, dude, we might need to review that. We might need to review that.
I'm down.
I'm not nearly as familiar with Robert Patrick as I am the other people in this film. But what I will say is his performance in Terminator 2 is what makes this movie. And it's the casting in this film is so damn good. Yes, because he gives
his performance is what makes this movie.
I do, because he is what gives them. He is the fucking antagonist and what gives them the reason to have this whole entire story. And he's so damn good at being this stoic, cold killing machine that I really fucking believe it.
Speaking of him, and we did talk about specifics.
That's right.
We did say we were going to talk specifics. Mm-hmm. And one of the specifics I have involves him, where he goes to the house. And they say, that man in the biker jacket came by, and the guy and Robert Patrick goes, oh, I wouldn't worry about him. And not once do the parents go, what the fuck does that mean? like, okay, you know something about this biker dude. And not once do the parents go, oh, I wouldn't worry about him.
I do feel like if I were that kid's foster parents or real parents in general, I would have a much stronger reaction to a giant biker coming by looking for your 12, 13 year old. How old is he in this movie?
100%. He's like 13. He looks like 13-ish.
Sure. So I don't know. That has always bothered me, where they're not more freaked out by that whole thing. But I don't know. All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to touch on before we give ratings and final thoughts about this?
I do. I want to know how the hell you have a free credit limit and you pull out $300. I want to know that.
Okay.
Yeah. I watching this, that stood out to me for some reason this time, where he's like, easy money. Easy money. You pull that $300. Pull out something that involves a fucking comma. Like, you have no limit.
But then
no,
that's noticeable.
Here.
That's noticeable.
So is $300 in 1991. That's like 40 million yeah. now. Like, somebody's gonna notice 300 bucks went missing. Like, oh, I don't know, the bank.
Not in 1991.
Okay. All right. I guess fuck me. Let's just move on to the
rating. Give me specifics. If you want to get into more specifics, let's do it. I told you, I pretty much said everything I have to say about this, so.
All right, you son of a bitch. All right. Fucking regular hat-wearing motherfucker. Oh, wait. Nope, that was it.
That was it?
That was it.
Oh. See, okay. I thought you were going to, like, go down a list or something. I don't know. I was going to,
but I forgot to save my notes. So they're gone.
You have to hit save on your notes on the fucking Androids? Is that real? Really?
No. Okay, I forgot to write them down, okay? I forgot to write them down.
So, in other words, there are no notes. Is that what you mean?
There are notes. There's
You've been sitting here pretending that you have notes this whole time. And you don't have anything.
I do have notes. I have 2063 autobiographical documentary about famed egomaniac and world destroyer Elon Bezos.
He wrote down his something joke synopsis, but not anything about the movie.
I forget.
Okay.
Something about this theme song always gives me goosebumps.
Yep.
And I never really thought about the fact that they have this ATM card and access to all of this cash, and they only take $300.
Well, just because you're a piece of shit that would steal millions doesn't mean he is.
Opportunist. Opportunist.
All right. Well, why don't you give me your final thoughts and ratings on Terminator 2?
So, Terminator 2 is, again, like I said, by far one of the, if not the, it's definitely the best action sci-fi movie ever made, in my opinion. Maybe I also haven't seen some that are, you know, good, as good, if not better. I mean, it's one of the best sci-fi movies ever made. It gets better with every single rewatch. Every time I watch it, I like it more than I did the first time or the last time. I always find something new to appreciate about it, or if not something new, then something, that I appreciate that I didn't before. I mean, just, it's fucking incredible. It's Terminator 2. Fucking Judgment Day. I mean, what else do you have to say about it?
Okay, what's your rating?
10 out of 10. It's a fucking perfect goddamn movie.
I did say earlier I was going to rant about this. This is the 4K Terminator.
I can't see you behind my protective glasses.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to look at yes. The lizard people for a second. This is the 4K Terminator 2 Judgment Day release. You could get this on Amazon for, I don't know, like 11, 12, 13 bucks. It's very cheap. This is not been supervised by James Cameron. This is a release of the 3D version, I believe, that I can't remember the studio that did it. Was it? It was Studio Canal. They did this. And this is the theatrical version. This is the most oversharpened, saturated, horrible sounding 4K I have ever seen in my entire life.
Really?
This is, it's so overdone in every sense that it yeah. was hard for me to focus on it because there's so much contrast. There's so much saturation. The sound that they put on the back two speakers for the 5.1 mix was almost deafening compared to the fucking voices, for instance, or the two speakers at the front of the fucking TV. It's insane how fucking bad this is. There are rumors that they are going to release a Terminator 1 4K this year, because I believe it's the 40th, isn't it? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1984. So I'm hoping that's going to be supervised by James Cameron, because he takes, say what you want about the guy, but he is fucking anal about his own movies, and he will dive headfirst into making these releases what the fuck they should be. But what I will say about this is it's very cheap. And if you're just trying to get Terminator 2, it looks like the transfer itself is not bad. It's the post-processing shit that they did to this that is really, really, really frustrating. So I just wanted to point that out. I don't know if what you watched was the same. You probably watched the Blu-ray transfer, if I had to guess. Yeah. On Paramount. So I just wanted to point that out, that this is it's very frustrating to watch the 4K if you pay attention to stuff like that. It also looks like the color grade is a little too green than what I remember it being. That could just be my memory being poor, because frankly, that's also the case. But the color grade is weird. It's all over the place as far as post-production stuff. So I just wanted to rant about that for a second, because it is frustrating as fuck that one of the best movies of all time has this fucking transfer on it. It's mind-blowing. I don't get it. And this should have one of the best... This should be one of the best 4Ks out there. Just period. Because it's one of the best action sci-fi movies ever made. So, anyway, with that being said, this is one of the best action sci-fi movies ever made. The entire cast is beautiful. The acting is great. The screenwriting is phenomenal. This is how you make a fucking sequel. And when you make a sequel that's better than your original, you know you're fucking onto something. But it is also... It's really obvious why it's all downhill from here, because 2 is so goddamn good and so well put together that you almost can't top Terminator 2. And I get want to try, but it's just, it's so like pie in the sky thinking that like we could do this again.
Well, yeah. And I mean, if you're not going to make a Terminator 2 or a Terminator movie with the guy that could actually make it back from the Titanic, why even bother?
You're so wrapped up in the fucking Titanic. What is it with you in this movie? You bring it up all the time.
Because he actually went to the Titanic and came back. Other than the submarine full of millionaires that went to the Titanic and stayed with the Titanic.
That makes the movie good? That he went down there and went, oh, look, there
clearly
it is.
Clearly knows what he's doing. Clearly knows what he's doing.
There's the ship right there.
Yep. And then he went, oh, look, air.
All right. For me, I just looked what I have it rated on Letterboxd from the last time I watched this, which was a 9 out of 10. I'm bumping this up to a 10. This is literally perfect sci-fi. This is perfect sci-fi.
Agreed on a 10 out of 10 before.
I don't think we have. This is perfect sci-fi. And it might be one of the greatest movies ever made. Just in general, it's definitely one of the best action movies ever made. It's definitely one of the best sci-fi movies ever made. And I don't know if we're ever going to see a cast this good performing a script that well written, directed by somebody that can just direct the shit out of sci-fi. I don't know if we're ever going to see that ever again.
Not if people keep going and watching Marvel movies, we won't.
And that's really what it comes down to, is this is what blockbusters were like in the 90s, and that's what blockbusters are like now. These inflated-ass budgets with 10 fucking cast members that are all multimillionaires, and it's just, yeah, how far we have fucking fallen, and no wonder no one wants to go to theaters. Like, goddamn. Can you blame them?
Should we mention the merch store?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so we're going to start selling tinfoil hats in the merch store, and they're going to be going on sale for $9.99 plus shipping, and they will have all been worn by me. So you will not only be getting high-grade space-age technology, but we'll also be selling colloidal silver along with it so that we can start taking money away from Alex Jones.
So anyway, thanks for watching. If you like this, make sure you hit the like button. If you really liked it,
make sure
you hit the subscribe button, because we got a lot more content like this on the channel. Make sure you go check out the Terminator 1 review, because that one, we really broke down why Terminator 1 holds up so well. And I think a lot of what we said in Terminator 1 pertains to Terminator 2 as well. And that, I feel like, why we don't have a ton of breaking down of Terminator 2 to do, because we did that in Terminator 1 and all of that stuff still applies to Terminator 2. So make sure you go check out our Terminator 1 review. I will link that down in the description. And other than that, I know we haven't been around. We weren't around last week. This is just shit that happens. We watched, what was the fucking name of that movie? Under Paris for last week's review.
Yeah.
And
we were going to do Under Paris.
It was so bad that we literally didn't have anything to say about it other than movie bad, Netflix trending list is a lie.
Yeah, so it is.
That was why we weren't around last week.
We did try.
We did try. We really did try.
Yep.
But if you're looking for a way to really waste a long amount of time that Netflix is really pushing, go watch Under Paris, because it is goddamn just a horrible, awful, fucking stinky, horrible piece of shit.
Everything is awful when you're part of Netflix.
Yeah. And it just goes to show that you don't need to be James Cameron to be able to make a movie, huh?
No, I'm gonna submit my film to Netflix. Be like, look, effort.
All right, well, thank you guys for watching so much, and we will see you guys next time from the deep. Bye-bye.
Talk to Holly.